I was listening to you and Carr talk about the future of a Bitcoin society. And you were talking about how the sexual parameters are going to have to change for that society. And I agree. But I think the whole idea that flexing won't exist because you can't throw money around, I don't think that's true. I think that there's a way to flex on everybody else, and that would be biohacking. Now, this isn't the same
thing
as,
is that the angle that you were coming from? Okay, I'm very
in.
That's really weird, because you told me that in text. I read it. I was like, okay. That is weird, because that instantly just clicked in my head. But please, go ahead.
So, what I'm thinking is, in the future, the people who have been hurt by these vaccines, like yourself, and several other ineligible... Several other people are going to just be, you know, wandering around the streets, you know, begging and you know, hurt. Their legs aren't going to work anymore. So you're going to have some sort of way of, you know, distancing yourself from the walking dead, as I call them. Right?
Right. Right. The vaccinated masses.
Right. And I think the way to do that is to maximize your own personal health while also sort of like signaling it, you know? And there's lots of ways that I can conceive of that happening. But we have to go into what biohacking is.
Yeah, right? Please. Let's do that.
I think the best way to describe biohacking is taking your own health into your hands and figuring out what works best for you outside of the medical system.
Right? Okay.
So before we get started, I'd like to say, before doing any of these things, you need to consult with your doctor so that you can laugh at that retard when he tells you something stupid.
Let me ask you a question.
So consult with him.
If you're framing biohacking in that way, how long have we been biohacking as human beings?
Since the beginning.
Yeah. You got any like old thoughts on that? Like who biohacked? Give me an example of a biohacker from archaic times.
I guess we were talking about Paracelsus von Hohenheim the last time I was on.
Right.
And he was certainly more of a biohacker than the medical establishment around him. And he just sort of put all those nerds to shame by, you know, figuring out the molecular basis for lots of medicines and making his own pharmacology. He was the father of pharmacology. And if you look today, they're trying to attack vitamins and minerals. Like, you're not supposed to... The FDA says vitamins and minerals are just... Yeah, they think that vitamins and minerals are just a very expensive way of taking a piss.
Yeah.
Right? Because, you know, they do get passed out in the piss. And you get really funky smelling piss when you take them. But, you know, there's more to it than that. Like, Linus Pauling, for instance, right? This two-time Medal of Honor. It's the Peace Prize winner. Linus Pauling, he's like one of the most influential figures in modern medicine. He decided he was going to start looking into vitamin C and high-dose vitamin C. And at the time, everybody thought, this is great. But nowadays, everybody's like, Linus Pauling was a quack because he believed in vitamin C. There's something really interesting about vitamin C. We're the only animals that don't produce it ourselves. Right?
What?
So if a goat,
how is that possible? Yeah. What did we do in the evolutionary chain there to stop that from happening? Milk?
What did we do what did the aliens do to us? Do you remember the movie Jurassic Park?
I sure do. I was just talking about it today. Yes.
All right, in Jurassic Park, they talk about the Nicene Contingency.
What the
fuck
is that?
Because none of their dinosaurs produce niacin. So what they end up doing is taking away the niacin food source, and then they all end up dying from it. Well, we've got the vitamin C contingency. We just found out ways of providing it for ourselves outside of the alien control. Because what they were expecting is, well, these guys don't produce vitamin C themselves. So if we let them just wander around on their own, they're all just going to end up dying of sepsis. Which would be true, but we found a way around that.
Th- This is nuts, dude. This is real. What you just said is insanely true. I had to just be sure about this, and I Googled it. The only animals that cannot produce vitamin C internally are fruit bats, guinea pigs, and primate monkeys. And the guinea pigs are fake animals anyway. And I don't know about bats, but that's...
Well, so they were engineered too.
To people. Yeah, they kind of were, right?
Yeah. Fuck. I mean, why do you think we have the coronavirus being blamed on bats?
Why? That is... you just blew my mind within the first 5 minutes of this. That's weird. That's weird that monkeys and... Well, primates. Not monkeys. Primates can't generate vitamin C internally. They have to get it from the outside. That's crazy. That doesn't make any sense to me at all. You're right. It's aliens. What am I saying? It's aliens from 45,000 years ago. Yeah, obviously.
So
the Anunnaki.
We've always been sort of this zoo. We're an intergalactic zoo, and they come here to offload some of their weirdest creatures on this planet.
That's fucking crazy. Right.
And if they work out, they take them back to their home planet. Now, humans haven't been taken back to any home planet, so what does that tell you?
That Agartha, the inside of the Earth, is the real planet, probably, is what that would tell me.
Oh, maybe. I mean, I'm thinking that we're kind of a failed experiment.
We could be. We certainly could be. Or we're still an experiment where they're waiting for us to develop our own vitamin C internal production before we're perfect. Who knows?
Right. Well, I think there's ways of doing that using biohacking if you're into that sort of thing. But you would have to also be into like survival sports and like really extreme environments. Because if you're trying to survive
like
in an extreme environment. Yeah, if you're trying to survive in that extreme environment, you don't have access to fruits. You don't have access to meat that has it. So what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to produce a genetically modified bacteria to live inside of your body and produce lots and lots of vitamin C for you.
Oh, wow. Well, there you go. All right, let's get back to the war on vitamins because this was very obvious from the start. Keep going with the war on vitamins, finish that up, and then we'll get back into the biohacking. So they attacked that guy, two-time Nobel Prize winner.
Yep. Two-time Nobel Prize winner Linus Pauling is considered a quack today because he was doing some of the original allopathy. Now, we got to go back to the original schism between what's today referred to as alternative medicine and what was back then called holistic medicine or homeopathy versus allopathy. Now, those two words are kind of interesting. Homeopathy means treating like with like. So if you're trying to treat a disease, you take a smaller portion of whatever it is that's causing that disease, and your body can create natural immunity to it. If you're a allopath, you believe that the way to treat disease is to treat it using its opposite, using opposite chemicals, using surgery. You've got to get it out, and you've got to kill whatever's killing you, right? That's the original schism. Now, that happened because the Rockefeller Foundation originally threw all of their money behind allopathy. Now, it used to be that there wasn't a schism. They would just work together and have fun and whatever.
Yeah, but I was going to say, they both seem like they have their uses in tandem.
Right.
But yeah.
But the Rockefeller Foundation took a hold of medicine using you know, their bucks after, you know, around the 1920s or so.
And so they pushed the allopathic, get the stuff out of you using alternate chemicals stuff? Is that how it goes?
Yes, and they... Okay. And they thought we could use our oil and our plastics to start unloading, you know, all this extra product on them so that we can keep our prices up. Because, you know, investors are kind of stupid. And if you say plastic, which makes up less than like 5% of the total oil production, and say, look, we've got other uses for oil, so you don't have to drop the price on our gasoline because... there's other things we can do with it. So the more uses, the more investment you get, the more loans you can make, blah, blah, blah.
Okay.
All the financial.
But what is maybe I'm not understanding this, but what does the oil have to do with the medicine?
Everything in your medicine, in your medicine cabinet that comes from mainstream science has oil somewhere in it. You got the plastic bottles. You got the
plasticine,
which is in the pills. You got all sorts of other things that they use plastic in, and they're like, well, this is the way to do medicine, right? They've even got petrochemicals that come from the ground inside of a lot of vitamins, and it's like, what is going on here? Well, I don't want this oil shit inside of me.
I love petrochemicals. Well, I don't know about you, but I sure do love petrochemicals.
Have you had your daily dose of petrochemicals today?
Let's find out. Would that be in the ingredients list of anything? As a petrochemical? How would I know?
I think lauryl sulfate is a petrochemical, and that's in your shampoo, right?
Well, I don't drink that on purpose. Ah, fuck, corn syrup. I just caught corn syrup on the back of the Yoo-hoo can. Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah.
That's bad.
I hate the Antichrist!
I sure do. I hate it. Anyway, so yeah. Petrochemicals necessitating a market via the senseless creation of an industry.
Right. Voodoo economics.
Oh, yeah. Macro. We call that macroeconomics, baby. That's all that it is.
Well, sort of. There's another concept there, and this is a magical concept, which I'd like to introduce to the audience, where you've got a product that you introduce to people. And given the fact that enough people are introduced to it, that product becomes viable once people get their hands on it, right? That's a form of magic. So like my pet rock, for instance. If your pet rock is advertised right, then it starts to work for people, even though it's done absolutely nothing.
Oh, yeah. My marketing, mind control, it's all very much in the interest of the people who control it. I'm very much with you there.
Okay, so let's talk about the very first level of biohacking.
Fuck yeah.
What is the most identified effect in medicine?
Most identified effect in medicine. No idea. Yes. What?
It is the placebo effect.
Oh, of course. Interesting.
Every study has to control for the placebo effect, which is about...
Wow, that's crazy.
If you do the placebo... if you do the placebo effect correctly, that's about 30% effective.
You are blowing my fucking mind right now. Okay, can we stop? I need a moment. The implications of what you just said are huge.
Right.
They're huge. Every study has to be tested against that. That means that's the norm. That's to be expected. That is insane. Ball, that's crazy. All right, now 13 minutes in, my mind's been blown two times. Okay, keep going.
All right. So here's the thing. Not every placebo is the same. Right? The first level of placebo is some guy in street clothes handing you a sugar pill.
Right.
Right? So that has about a 10% effectiveness. Right? Because this weirdo just handed you a pill and he says, look, if you want to get your money, you're going to have to take this fucking pill. And so he's like, I guess I'll take it.
Yeah, right. I would not be persuaded.
If you want to get that placebo effect up a little bit to 15 to 20%, you're going to have to dress that homeless guy who's working for you in a lab coat. And then it becomes a little bit more respectable. So now that sugar pill has about a 15 to 20% effectiveness.
Right. Need it be necessary that I ask the question, why does the lab coat connote such an effect? And it obviously wouldn't once you don't buy the lab coat's effectiveness anymore, right?
Right. Well, if you believe in authority... Right, then the lab coat expresses authority.
That's important, right? If you believe in authority, you're more susceptible to magic.
Right, right. That's where magic comes from, is authority, right? The belief in authority. which is not necessarily a bad thing, right? Because you could be the authority in your own life. You see what I'm saying?
I sure do.
If you want to get that placebo effect all the way up to 30 to 35%, bordering on 45% sometimes, you have to sit the patient down and fill his head with bullshit. And you got to put that pill in his hand after he's been filled up with bullshit about what this pill is supposed to do, and his mind does the rest. That's medicine.
Yes. So it's 80% magic and a little bit of testing and Jesus Christ.
I want to know when medicine hasn't been magic.
Yeah, good point. Man, there are some, I don't know, when I smoke pot, it's definitely not, it's working. I'm not tricking myself.
Well, here's the thing. Imagine those people in France who had the CIA drop all of that LSD on them, and they had no idea what the fuck was going on.
Sure.
That was magic, but in a very malevolent way, because anybody could have said anything to those people about what was happening, and they would believe it, right? Just because they didn't know what was happening, right? So they believed that it was in the drinking water, but it was dropped on them from planes.
Right. But the LSD, as far as the chemical, is are you saying that's a magical chemical, or are you saying it has magical effects?
Chemicals are always secondary to the psychology of the person using them and wanting them and demanding them.
In all cases?
Yeah, because if it's helping you out and you feel different and somebody attributes that to witchcraft, you feel worse.
I see. Right? So the framing of the experience is what
is
we're talking
about. It's more important
than
what's actually happening. So when people talk
about...
Right, because
the chemical is a biological effect. Right.
Right.
I understand what you're saying. Okay.
So this is what biohacking is. It's being open to the ideas that you have to experience more things so that you can help your body out. You can help your mind out. Right? So I think one of the biggest biohacking chemicals that people are getting into nowadays is psilocybin mushrooms. The effect of a psilocybin trip, while different in a lot of different people, has been known to regrow brain dendrites, right? It actually increases the connections in your brain.
Yes,
that's biohacking, right? So,
it's biohacking when it's you doing it, and when I guess I don't know, someone else could do it for you, but when it's outside of the realms of a mediated authority, is that what you're trying to communicate?
In a lot of ways, it is. That's what the industry is nowadays, and that's what vitamins have become. Vitamins have become biohacking because it's not accepted by the mainstream people who think that it's just pissing out a bunch of chemicals.
So when it used to be like, take these vitamins a day, blah, 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 it wasn't really biohacking if you were following that formula, like
we
just listening
to
a formula. Yeah.
We have to go back to the schism, right? The schism was between like treating like and unlike treating a disease, right? So if that's your formula, what is vaccination? That's like treating like. That's homeopathy because you're injecting that virus into your body. Well, now that's considered allopathy. And what would vitamins be? Because you're treating an unlike on something that is a disease, right? Because the disease doesn't produce more vitamins in your body, right?
Yeah,
so
right.
That would be the unlike thing. Linus Pauling was an allopath, right?
Yeah.
He was an allopath, so he was treating a disease with the thing that's the opposite. Well, nowadays, allopathy just means authority. That's it.
Right.
So
how did that vaccinations go from homeopathic to allopathic? Is that what you're also saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. They went that way because Well, it's a money-making scheme, right? I mean, it's one of the best money-making schemes. You're putting something in your body that shouldn't be there, that your body normally fights off, in hopes that your body gets better after being injected with all this stuff to make you sick for a little while. This actually comes from Africa, right? What was it? What they would do in Africa about 300 years ago, and that the British Empire discovered, is that they would take these pus pockets from cows, right? They would take these pus pockets, and they would slit them open, and the farmers would cut themselves open and put themselves up against this bloody pus pocket, so that they would get all of the germs from the animal into them, so that their body could fight off anything that's like that.
So that's the homeopathic start to things like vaccinations, is put it in so that more can't come in.
Right. And then you had the cowpox being used as a vaccine against
smallpox.
Smallpox. Because
so does that become allopathic, or that's still homeopathic?
It's still homeopathic at that time, because it's way, way, way before the schism. The schism happened because of funding. The funding mechanism is what drove homeopathy away from allopathy.
Hmm.
So now we have homeopathy, which is the bane of all good atheists out there know how bad homeopathy is.
Yeah, everybody talks about homeopathic medicine like it's nonsense. That's what I'm trying to figure out. Yeah.
While still praising, vaccines as this gift from gods like Anthony Fauci. Vaccinate us, please! But that's homeopathy. That's the same kind of medicine. Well, the problem is how many more additives do you need to put inside of these vaccines for them to work? You know what I mean? Like, okay, the basics of it is that you're taking a pathogen in small amounts or from a different species, putting it in your body so that your body can do the work. Now it's, well, we're putting so much shit in these things that your body is never going to work again on that level.
Right.
And then you got to trust us. Trust us forever. If anybody has read it, I encourage them to get on COVID vaccinated and just... You're going to get banned if you make any comments, but if you just subscribe to COVID
Vaccinated... We're already going to get banned on Spotify because of the AI picking up all the specific words you're using, so you might as well go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. Talk to your doctor.
Yeah, right.
You got to say talk to your doctor.
Talk to your doctor. Your doctor knows best.
Ask him about them
so that the system can hear it.
All right, talk to your doctor. Laugh in his face. No, you got to ask your doctor about iatrogenic effects. Iatrogenic effects.
Doctor, if can I ask you about your word, iatrogenic effects? You know your fucking doctor doesn't know that goddamn word. Doctors were people who went to medical school and blew their brains out on ecstasy and danced with lots of slutty girls. That's what doctors were. He definitely doesn't know what that fucking word means, because nobody knows what that fucking word means.
What a doctor does. Let me tell you what a doctor does. All right, a doctor goes to medical school, takes ecstasy. He boosts ecstasy, right?
Yeah.
So he's shoving it up his ass, and what he does in his office all day. You know why he doesn't come in all the time? Like he's always late. He's sitting in his office wondering if he's gay or not from boofing ecstasy when he's back in medical school. That's what he's doing.
Hold on, let me for the filter. Your doctor boofs ecstasy. Just make sure that the filter can catch that one too.
Okay, he did it one time, all right? And he's still wondering if he's okay from that.
What the hell is homeoexegesis or whatever the word you just used was? What the fuck is that?
Iatrogenic effects means medicine that can kill you. It is a negative side effect from something that you take, iatrogenic, right? So ask him the iatrogenic effects of whatever he's prescribing you. If he rolls his eyes, you get out of there. If he says, wow, that's a big word for you, you know what you say? fuck you, I'm never coming back to this motherfucker again, and I'm going to take everybody in the waiting room with me. If he treats you like shit, doctors think they're gods. They think they're fucking gods. And if he treats you like shit, take every one of his customers with you.
The adjetogenic effect, you motherfuckers. The adjetogenic effect.
Iatrogenic. When he prescribes you something, be like...
Iatrogenic.
Iatrogenic. You say, if he prescribes something, you say, what are the iatrogenic effects of this? And if he comes back with an eye roll, you fucking leave. You slam that door in his face.
Leave that shit. Leave it. And what would be his proper response? Would he go, they are, dun, dun, dun. Would that be the proper response?
That would be the proper response. That would be the proper response of a person who respects another person. They don't respect you as a person. They believe themselves to be gods.
How about, I'm not 100% sure, but can you can Google it.
If he says that, then it's like, what am I paying you for?
Yeah, right. But maybe you should just ask him that question.
Right. He'll be like, well, I'm the expert. Well, what's the iatrogenic effects of this?
Yeah, that's the loop confirmation. Yeah, right. That's how you know. You know, you've set this scenario up, Ball, geniusly, because you know 100% out of 100% of doctors are not going to give the correct response to that statement.
Right. Because they're fucking pieces of shit. Talk to your fucking piece of shit, please. Talk to him. The longer you talk to him, the less he can hurt other people. I want to tell you something. There is... the study of striking doctors. You're going to have to Google this because I'm not your doctor. Talk to your doctor.
Okay.
The study of striking doctors. In Israel, they had a bunch of doctors go on strike, and then they had a bunch of researchers studying the health of the population. And guess what? Less people died when the doctors went on strike.
Right, but everybody knows this, the number three cause of death in America is medical malpractice.
Bingo.
The number three cause of death.
These people, right. And it's
if it was the number six cause of death, it would be less bad.
Right. So when the doctors go on strike, less people die. We've got a problem here, and I think it's all in the mind. It's all in the mind of the doctor. It's all in the mind of the patient. They believe these people to be authorities. Talk to your doctor.
Don't get banned. Ask him about biblical exegesis and tell him you hate the Antichrist, okay?
I hate the Antichrist.
Do you, when you're...
Take your
Yeah, when
up.
You're storming out... Yeah, when you... when you're storming out... of the office after you've inevitably entrapped your doctor into an unanswerable question, do you storm out and then point at the building and say, I hate the Antichrist? Or do you affirm to him directly, I hate the Antichrist, and then storm out?
No. When he eye rolls after you ask about iatrogenic effects of what he's prescribing
iatrogenic effects, correct.
Right. When he eye rolls, you give him a little motion like, I'm going to talk to you in your ear. And you say, right into his stupid little head, I hate the Antichrist.
And when then you
that,
storm out.
He will lose his fucking mind. Yeah.
He will. Because the Antichrist, as we know, if you read the book of Matthew, we understand that devils hate to be named by their names.
As well as the book of Luke, which refers to Jesus as the great healer, the great doctor, the great
and
physician.
And Luke was a physician as well, and not some sort of punk ass... white lab coat. Yeah. He would have answered your question. He was very direct. He would have answered your question about iatrogenic effects. Oh, I got it.
Right.
Yes.
There you go. You got it.
Iatrogenic
effects.
If you don't
start quoting the Bible to your doctor, you are wrong.
Revelation 22:3.
That's the one thing they... There you go. Start quoting the Bible to him, and he won't know what to do. He might light on fire, which would be even better.
Yeah, that would be
great.
This
is how the beast took over.
Yeah.
No, listen,
we are setting off every Spotify AI word catcher that they've ever designed in this one episode. This is
good. Talk
this
to
is
your
like
doctor.
Getting more pings than an Aaron episode.
Third leading cause of death. I realized something, right? What is the nature of the simulation we're living in?
Mm-hmm. What?
What is it? It is medicine.
Yeah.
It is medicine.
Yes.
Think
yes.
about it. Why does the state exist if not for that little effect we were talking about
yes.
earlier? Why does the state exist?
That's correct.
It's all placebo. It's all placebo. You cannot accept a politician unless he is up on the stage wearing that politician suit, wearing his little buttons. It's all placebo. That's why you vote for that.
You ever read that guy Foucault, as my co-host likes to call him? Yeah, that's
even
the whole concept
psychiatry
of biopower. Yet. Yeah, it's the whole thing. It's the whole system is maintained. In his day, he saw was maintained by the mechanisms that exploit basic biological features and make political strategies out of people.
Right.
Yeah.
Now there could be other points to this simulation as we go forward, but you have to understand the point of the simulation now. That mm-hmm. is medicine. What do the Native Americans carry around in a bag around their necks as they go on different missions and stuff? It's a medicine bag, which reminds them of where they come from, who they are. If you don't have a reminder of who you are, these people can shape it right before your eyes, before you can do anything to stop them. You have to know your medicine.
This is quite a good reason why psychiatry is, in particular, so malicious, because it is, you know, how they say energy is the industry that powers all other industries. Psychiatry is the industry that powers all of the other psychosis that we're going through.
Right.
It is definitely, this is quite pertinent, but let me reel us back.
But
for
we're
a little
talking
bit,
about level
we'll inevitably,
one.
We'll definitely go back into it. Right. So, level
yes.
one.
Well, we're on
effect,
level one of
placebo
biohacking,
effect.
Which is placebo effect.
Beating
right.
the placebo effect, or rather inducing the placebo effect freely or by other means. Some sort of absurdist view of the placebo effect.
You have to positively influence the placebo effect in your own mind, in your own body, in your own practice. And the way to do that is to figure out what makes you happy. Meditate on that. Become the thing you want to be. These are the positive placebos. These are the things that release you from the control of people like Dr. Fauci. If you're not happy with yourself, you will turn to the doctors to make you happy, and they never, ever will.
I think what you just did was create a new little neologism for us. So we have the concept that one of the points of the simulation is medicine, which at the very nature of it includes psychiatry. Prefix for that is we could call psycho, we'll say. And what are we talking about? Hacking. I think you just created psycho hacking. I think you just basically said be your own psychiatrist.
Yeah, well, the best way to get rid of psychiatry is to live in the moment, because when you are stuck on the same old loops of worrying about the future, worrying about the past, worrying about all the rest of this stuff, you don't realize that right now could be all there is. This is a possibility a lot of people have never considered. Imagine if 5 minutes ago your biological container was programmed with all of the knowledge that you would ever have in your entire lifetime. It wasn't real. It was all programmed into your body as you were assembled cell by cell on some table somewhere, put into the place where you are, and let go. If that's the case, there's nothing to worry about. You know what I mean? You're where you are because that's where you are.
I want to challenge
you
on something.
If you can get to that point. If you can get to that point, go ahead.
I want to give you a question, then. How do you grapple that mindset? This is going to be a weird one, but you of all people, I know you have an answer for this. How do you grapple that mindset with time preference?
Well, you have to say to yourself, right now I'm feeling something I don't want to feel. I'm feeling anxious. I'm feeling worried. I'm feeling depressed. And that's when you make the change. You have to bring yourself into the mindset that the present is the only thing that exists. And once you can do that, you can move forward and make better decisions about things like time preference.
Okay, I understand. Right? So it's not necessarily framing. This is about framing right. Any question.
Any question, you can bring yourself into a level of peacefulness so that you can make those better decisions. It's not necessarily, look, it wouldn't be an effective simulation if all you had inside of you were the wrong things. You have to be programmed at least to make the good decisions sometimes, because it happens on occasion. You feed yourself, you breathe. There has to be something in you that is self-sustaining. And when you can identify that living in the moment brings you to a place of self-sustenance, then the other decisions become easier. It's taking the next good step. But if you don't have that basis for how to live, if you don't have that light inside of you, it's time to get to that point. Because you're too focused on the past or the present or any of the other problems that make you who you are, that you start to make these bad decisions, right? This is the essence of the placebo effect. It's living in the now. It's believing the now is important.
Wow.
If the now
is
not important, well, okay. So let's go to level two. What is level two? It would be
We are going to level two. We're going to hit up level two. So we've passed psychohacking. We've passed getting in the mindset, the frame, and now we are on level two of biohacking. Frame that for me.
Level two of biohacking is the molecular, right? We have to talk about the most basic building blocks in our body. Now, if you're living in the now, you can start to understand some of the physiological changes in your body, right? You know when something is negatively impacting you. You know when something is positively impacting you. And you can start to take in information about those basic building blocks in your body and make the right decisions. What we're dealing with now is researching and doing a lot of research on your own, finding the right answers for yourself. If you want to heal faster, which is, you know, one of the basic desires that we have, we want to get out there, we want to get back on our feet, we want to get better. That would be, you know, part of this level two thing. We've got to find a way to enhance our building blocks to do what it needs to do. We're all essentially containers of water walking around. We're all just pitchers of water doing our thing, wriggling around, right? It's just the basic chemistry that makes us up. So we have to figure out how to balance out the chemical imbalances in our body that's causing us not to be able to get back up on our feet, which takes a basic understanding of biochemistry, which takes a basic understanding of the parts that make us up, you know, mentally and physically. So this is where you got to do your own research and talk to your doctor about iatrogenic effects.
Yes.
Because he's not going to know. And he's going to give you something that's going to have an iatrogenic effect. And then you're going to be fucked. Because the placebo effect only works for so long. Right? So one of the ways that I found, which is really interesting, which is kind of a new thing in Korea and China, is molecular hydrogen. We consume carbohydrates and hydrocarbons, but we don't digest the hydrogen. Some people do, and it turns out that the people who do, they've done studies on them, the most long-living people on the planet breathe out the most hydrogen. Now, they do that because of the fact that they're able to process it and then expel it out in their breath. That means that there's some sort of gut bacteria that's digesting the hydrogen, putting it into their blood cells, and causing their bodies to have this hydrogen in it, which regulates systems
over,
and it helps
over
out with a lot of other things.
Hydrogenization and so on and so forth.
There is no over hydrogenization. When you put hydrogen, right, your body naturally regulates hydrogen out. It's really easy for your body to naturally regulate it out because it's lighter than air and it's the smallest atom there is, right? So when you've over hydrogenated, it comes right out. No problem.
Oh, you barf
it out.
There's
no way to overdose on hydrogen.
Yes. Right? Yes.
The reason I got into this is because I started to look into hydrogen fuel cells. And hydrogen fuel cells is where you put two electrodes into water and it separates it out into oxygen and hydrogen. When you put electrodes into water and you attach the electricity to it, it's just boom. There it is. There's the gas. It's coming up right away. You can see it. Well, it turns out other people were doing experiments on hydrogen. They're like, well, why don't you just breathe it in? And so they started doing that. So this fuel cell that you can run your car off of if you've got enough power also helps your body out. And get this, you can buy hydrogen cutting torches. Right, you can buy a hydrogen cutting torch for about $300 that separates out the hydrogen and the oxygen and gives you the ability to cut through steel. And you can also breathe it in and have these massive health impacts because you recover faster.
How would you breathe it in?
You breathe in the flammable gas.
No.
Anything that's coming out of it. Yeah, you do.
At what heat level?
Absolutely.
It can't be hot, right?
You don't. No. When you heat it up to where it actually starts a fire, you know what it comes out as?
What?
You know it would come out the gas, the exit. It would come out as water. So when you put the electrodes in it, it creates hydrogen and oxygen gas, and then when you light it on fire, it goes back to water. This is
hydrogen flammable, right?
Yes, the hydrogen. If you go back to the Hindenburg, that was a hydrogen reaction. And if you look real closely, you can see a bunch of water pouring out the bottom of the Zeppelin as it's falling to pieces on fire. It's returning to water. So, in a gaseous form, it's a lot more diffuse than in water. Water.
So you're very pro-hydrogen. You're a pro-hydrogen guy.
I am pro-hydrogen.
What are you hydrogenating constantly?
I am right now. It is very good to shock your cells with hydrogen because your cells will activate themselves when exposed to this stuff. And your blood has to carry it to those cells, and it creates a much better healing environment. I was having real hard times with this new job I have way out here in the Midwest, going up and down ramps. And I'm getting older, so I started taking, hydrogen supplements and other supplements, which we're going to talk about later, and it helped. Normally, when people have knee problems, that's it for them. Their knees are done. They've got to get surgery. They go on SSI. They get on Social Security, and they're done. But I feel like I've reached a point where I can actually start healing myself based off of the knowledge that I've got. So, hydrogen is very important. I found this one company that does hydrogen water, which is Drink HRW, and they have the highest concentration of hydrogen in the water that you can get. You just drop a tablet in, it starts fizzing up, and then you chug it down as soon as it stops fizzing.
Drink that up.
You get
drink that
like
up.
7 or 8 times the hydrogen that you could ever get.
Is the term that we're going with, is you're hydrogenated? What is the term?
I guess so. We can go with hydrogenated. I mean,
very hydrogenated. You seem super like high energy, clean. What's a word to describe your focus? You seem hydrogenated.
Well, thank you. I would suggest hydrogenate it yourself. Go to Drink HRW. This guy was a weightlifter who got a a viral infection that caused him to shut down almost completely. And he's brought himself back to weightlifting and other things using this method of putting more hydrogen in his water and drinking it down. He went through years and years of chemical study to get there. You can read about it on Drink HRW, but he is
HRW. You know, okay,
right. And a lot of people try to say that this is a panacea. It's not a panacea. Panacea is one of those words you should definitely avoid when you're looking.
No, that was when the Anunnaki had the panacea. That's why we remember it from history. They had it. We'll never have.
Well,
that.
The doctors powerful always technology. The doctors always try to tell you that they've got the panacea, but they don't.
They I think know. It's a bag of quantum energy or something like that, the panacea. You just pour it on and stuff
well,
fixes.
That's the thing. I mean, anybody promising panacea is like anybody an who's promising the... Yeah, I mean, this is... It's like the Philosopher's Stone. If you've got the Philosopher's Stone...
Which does exist.
Chances are, it has a very short half-life. Because that's the now is
true.
What's important. Right?
That's true.
So anybody promising a panacea has to realize, well, reality is a little bit more complex than that.
It's manipulating really the short panacea half-life. Means understanding the Kabbalic mathematics that link the esoteric numbering system from history with the Planck length of the quantum universe. If anybody there can figure that right. out, you can build up beings themselves. Or something like right. that. That's what I believe.
So this is definitely layer two. And layer two also includes vitamins and minerals.
I like it. I love including that is the following statement after that is, this is level two. Like people are going, oh my God, what the fuck is level three? Where are we going from here? I'm very excited.
See, we're actually going, we're descending. Level
what?
Two is actually one level. Yes. Because level one is by far the most important thing, right? Once
okay.
you get your head right.
Oh, I see. We're descending. Yes.
Uh-huh. We're descending, right? So level two is a step below that. And level three is peptides. Peptides and
peptides.
DNA medicine, right? Now, peptides are short chains of amino acids, right? And these occur in the bodies of every animal. Right, so if
including primates,
mineral
and such,
right?
Okay,
yes, and they're in everything. These are the bioregulators, right? The bioregulators that now Russia is the one that did all of the testing on this. The United States was very involved in research into vitamins and minerals and. Even some genetic variations. But Russia, during the Cold War, they focused mainly on peptides. And they've basically come up with a system of peptides that include all of the system functions of the body. So if you've got a bad liver, if you've got a bad stomach, if you've got bad ligaments, if you've got bad brain problems, if you've got bad anything, level three is where you start to treat that because peptides are bioregulators that you get from animals. You take yourself and it targets those organs and gets those organs back in shape. So you've got ligament peptides, which I've been taking a lot of recently just to get my legs back in order at this job I'm at. So if you take these peptides, it goes specifically to those areas. It's like peptides are a lot like hormones, right? Where the cells read the hormones and then it goes where it needs to go and then it's deposited there. But you see, when hormones are sort of like pointing a finger at what exactly needs to happen, peptides are sort of like, I'm here to facilitate the stuff that happens naturally, right?
Hmm. So like a stem cell? Is this like the idea of a stem cell sort of a thing?
No. Stem cells are the building blocks that grow out of it. This is like affecting the stuff. Like you could take spinal peptides and probably stimulate the growth of stem cells, or you could take
These are like the coders that create the little code that then goes out. This is what knows what to do.
Well, that'd be RNA. this is, yeah, it knows what to do, but it's not necessarily involved in the generation of life, right? It would just be sort of like, hey, get back to work. Hey, dummy, what are you doing? Get back to work.
Oh, right? I see.
And having these, target certain areas in your body, it kind of, it's a kick in the ass that your body needs, right?
Okay.
So biohacking to me would be the mental, which is the most important, the molecular, which would be vitamins, minerals, and, you know, monatomic agents, including monatomic silver, monatomic hydrogen, monatomic gold. And then you've got peptides, right? And these are all the least impactful. Like, there's very little negative consequences from these things. If you have too much of them, your body just pisses them right out, which a lot of people don't like because they're assuming it's going to be like weed or something else where you take it and then you instantly feel better. It's not like that. You have to take it for a little while and see how they impact you over time. Right?
Right. But of course,
understanding these three levels, the biological, the mineral, and the psychological, will give you a greater health that will allow you to move forward in your life in such a way that will make you more attractive to the opposite sex. It will give you lots and lots and lots of more sex.
Hmm.
Which is important because if you're now, my wife pointed something out when we were talking about this the other day. The most valuable part of sex in the future will be the female egg, right? Because a lot of women have taken this thing and they have these extended periods that cause them to bleed out for like 5+ weeks.
Yeah.
Not good. It's probably going to ruin their uterus and probably going to ruin their eggs. And when it comes to sexual valuations, it's going to definitely be mostly female. But if you're a female and you've understood this stuff, then the end result of you biohacking your body where it needs to be is going to be an improvement in epigenetics, right? Because that's what you're aiming towards. It's an improvement of epigenetics. And when you combine all of these things, you actually create a more viable family lineage.
Yeah, I mean, that's that makes sense to me. So, like, what else is there? Because now I have a question about, like, I was under the impression,
there's so much.
I know there's so much. I was under the impression that when you talk about biohacking, you talk about shit like CRISPR. Where does that fall into your hierarchy of stuff?
Well, that would be stage three. Right?
Because, yeah, that is. That's late in the game.
Yeah, that stage three thing can be the most damaging or the most beneficial, right? I mean, what you're trying to do is you're trying to stimulate the growth of stem cells. So what you would do is take a bunch of peptides for your spine and for your bones, because that's where the stem cells sort of are now, you know, after being born. And then if you're going to try and use CRISPR technology to get into those areas, you would want to have some sort of a crossover between what you've already stimulated and what you are going to want to grow, right? So if you're trying to CRISPR yourself some, I don't know, Wolverine-style bone bone shit, what you would probably want to do is you would want to start with the stem cells. You're going to have to grow these things, and then you're going to have to include in them some osteopeptides, right? And the osteopeptides would have to be injected directly into the sites where you're trying to grow these bone claws, right? And then you're going to have to definitely do a lot of energetic work to deal with the pain of growing these bone claws. Then you're going to have surgery or something to try and separate them from the other bones and then have them hooked up to, you know, some other, let's say, some muscle cells that would get them to pop out and go back in. Which if you're engineering that whole thing, then, you know, good on you. That would be amazing. But, you know, I don't know. I mean, what are you trying to do with the CRISPR? Right? Are you trying to?
I don't know. Yeah.
the basis
wanna
of CRISPR
have,
I want to
be able to dance. I don't know.
You want to dance?
I want to be flexible. CRISPR? Yeah, think about that, right? Like, I want to have better. I want to develop fast twitch muscles. That's what I want.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so when you get into the CRISPR technology, if you're getting into CRISPR, you're going to have to understand that what you're using is foreign bodies outside of the whole of your body, the energetic system and everything else, right?
Sure.
You're not going to be able to really CRISPR your cells and have them stick. You've got to kind of reverse engineer what your body wants in terms of your immune system, right? So yeah. You're going to have to include a lot of markers into the cells that you're building that would tell your immune system not to attack this thing. You're probably going to have to take a bunch of immunosuppressants. But if you can get to that point, because you know the CRISPR story about the monkeys, right?
No.
Have you heard of that? Okay.
Nope.
So they CRISPRed up this virus, and this virus...
I'm already laughing. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry. Have you heard the CRISPR story of the monkey is a great... I'm glad I do this podcast is all I have to say about that.
Well, it was a gene therapy technique where they injected into this virus the code for looking at the color orange and red. Monkeys don't actually see the color orange and red. So they infected these monkeys with this virus that, put into their cones, their cones and rods, the ability to see these colors.
Sure.
And that all of a sudden, these monkeys are able to differentiate these colors from other colors, and now it's no longer gray. They can actually see the thing. And so this effect lasted for about 2 to 3 weeks in these monkeys, because that's about how long a cold lasts. So they got infected with the thing, and they cleared it up later on based off of their normal immune cycle. So if you're trying to become a dancer, you're only really going to be a dancer for about 2 to 3 weeks if you've discovered that.
Fuck.
But
all right,
you can't solve everything with biology. This is what I'm talking about. The level one is always the most important. You've got to train yourself mentally and physically.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right?
I get it. I do get it. I get it. Listen, I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep putting myself into the dancer's mindset. And then I'll start dancing my heart away. That's stage two. By sucking in a lot of hydrogen. Hydrogen supplements, that has to be in an aerated form. Is that how that works?
You're not going to really be able to... Well, hydrogen's the lightest element there is. So... Uh-huh. If you've got it in a pill form, there's no way that you're going to digest it all. But if you've got it in a fizzy form, it's diffuse enough that your body's going to absorb most of it.
Most of it. Okay. All right.
So that's his thinking in terms of, because it really comes down to geometric thinking. Right? You have to think about the actual shape of these atoms and these molecules as they enter your body. Because... Linus Pauling didn't give people, 1,500 gram doses or whatever. He would give them intravenous vitamin C, because you would vomit if you took that much into your stomach. And he wanted to get it into the cells directly. And, he was able to cure sepsis and all these other infections doing that. It's one of the reasons why animals don't normally die of sepsis unless they've had something deprived from them in their ecosystem.
Right. Yeah, that is true. Huh. So, I guess my final thought is, unless I misunderstand the implications, how do we get sexy with this stuff? How does this...
Oh. Here's the thing. Now, you can breathe in hydrogen as well, right? And you can carry around pouches that say the different peptides you're taking, like especially if you're talking about myopeptides, shit that's going to target your muscles, and you're going to be bodybuilding, like that's the big thing. I mean, like you've noticed online, like all of the Chad memes have all gone towards these, you know, giant bodybuilders who are all trad, alt-right type figures, right?
Right.
That's sort of the thing. Right. So what are they saying to you? Like, that's sort of a reflection of what's happening in the future. It's like, you've got to be, I don't give a shit about anybody but my own development to be the Chad in the future.
The Chad. Right.
The Chad. The Giga Chad.
The Giga Chad. Yeah. Right. You want to be the Sigma. You want to be the Sigma male.
Right. And you know, all these leftists who are just so into trusting the system, I mean, they're already evolutionary dead ends, but if you can be a thoughtful person and look at things from this present perspective and get your body right and get your mind right, you're going to be obviously the best breeding partner. Doesn't matter what you're throwing around, you know, like all that.
This is true.
People throwing around money is just a substitution for what they actually have to offer, right? Because the money is not what people want. They want the stuff that money can offer.
Right.
So if you're talking about a Bitcoin-based society, you want the best mate you can find, and a lot of women are going to be attracted to the idea that you know better than any dumbass piece of shit, fat-ass doctor out there. Who, you know, doctors only get about 3 credit hours on nutrition to begin with. So,
oh,
if you can do better than that,
man,
you're definitely going to be better off. You
know? Wow.
3 credit hours versus never, ever look at your doctor as some sort of god. He wants you to, but don't do it. That's
wow.
The one thing that you need to resist more than anything.
That, yes.
Look at the state. The state exists because the idea of the effect, the placebo effect exists. That's it. I mean, who will build the roads? You don't know shit about roads. You're only saying that because you think it comes from the government. You're only saying that because you're under the placebo effect, right?
Which motherfucker, you definitely are. You definitely
right.
are. We all have a little placebos.
Right, and you can either use it to the positive or use it to the negative. And the only way you can tell the difference is by examining it in the now, right? You have to constantly be examining the now. And that's how you stay in reality. And you're not... Well, look, I say this over and over again. Men don't have ideas. Ideas have men.
Hell yeah.
Right?
I thought you were going to say women have ideas. I was going to be like, whoa, wait, where? What do we tell? How did we get to this? How did we get to that?
No.
I like how you would just flip it. You'd be like, men don't have ideas. Women have ideas. Men, if you want to be men, no more ideas.
No. Men don't have ideas. Ideas have men. People talk about ideological possession a lot of times.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But everyone is. Do you want to be possessed in the now, or do you want to be possessed in something that might never happen in the future? You can have an eternity perspective and essentially turn yourself into a monk that never does anything.
That's
you
a
can
way.
Have a past perspective that turns you into a basket case that never gets anything done. Or you can constantly be re-examining and trying to look at the now. Because once you look at the now, it's already past. It's already gone. But knowing that you did can strengthen you for the future. And having a good grasp on medicine and your own body and where you come from and having a solid foundation for your identity is what gives you the ability to move forward in a balanced way.
Boom. But
identity is like a drug, so you have to weigh it against the now.
Well, there you go. Ball, what else you got? You guys set the how far into biohacking can we keep? I mean, sure, we can continue.
Yeah,
that was a pretty powerful life philosophy that you've just given for people.
You can keep going down the ladder, but you can never go higher than the placebo effect. I want to make that clear. You can keep going down the ladder, But the best way to make those decisions is to have the ability to control your mind. Yeah, bad things might happen to you in life. But that's one of those things that being in the now can help you deal with.
And there you go.
Right? There's no better medicine than the now.
I was just letting him meditate on the now. I was letting him meditate on the now. Meditate, people, on the now. Feel the now.
There you go.
Feel that now. Feel that right now. Feel that right now.
Ready? One, two.
Yeah, let's do it. Three.
Now.
Okay, I felt it. Yeah, now. I felt that. Right. Now.
It's right there.
I felt that. It's right there. That was weird, because I did feel that. Thank you, Ball. That was great. That was very enlightening.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
I have nothing to plug, but I hope
you have to plug.
Make...
Because you're living in the now.
I hope to make... Right. I'm living in the now. I don't have a future. Not yet. But you'll feel it when I do. You'll feel it.
You don't... You haven't apprehended a future. You simply know the future is there to be apprehended. That's living in the now.
Right. Anytime I want to, I can reach up and grab it. You know, anytime I want to.
Time.
But right now, I want to live in the now.
In the now.
Right now.
Right now. All right. And in the spirit of living in the now...